Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Just when you thought that it might not happen again, well, apparently it might have happened again. We're going to tell you about that coming up as part of our 4th and 1. This hour brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Thanks to Jason Longshore for stopping by and chopping it up with us as Miggy makes his return to the ATL. And I want to remind you that if you want a chance to win the ultimate trip to Vegas, then it's time to download the free Odyssey app for your chance to spend the first 2 rounds of the college basketball championship in Vegas with 3 friends. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, the premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy, too, by the way. Just download the free Odyssey app. Log in and listen to 92.9 The Game or any participating station, guys. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. This is a national contest. Mike, as we will get into what's going on around the league, and look, we're still, you know, front and center when we talk about what the Falcons are doing, because the evaluation process, I know some people may think that's a joke. It's not. And Mike and I got into this thing at the end of the show yesterday. We were saying, all right, is this guy good? I don't know. Maybe Jeff Olbrich thinks this guy good. We were talking about, you know, our corners. And you know, a lot of guys were hitting me up going, yeah, Mike's right. This guy wasn't good. And I said, I don't disagree with what your eyes showed you. But it doesn't mean that you just discard him based on the stats that we laid out, which said Mike Hughes was probably better than you think he was. And so that's the discussion. But, Mike, this evaluation stuff, and we'll get more into this because we got some more stuff from Jeff Olbrich that we'll play for you, the defensive coordinator for the Falcons. This is a big deal because if you get this evaluation stuff wrong and you go, hey, he is better than we thought, and you keep him,
right,
you don't move on and then you don't upgrade, then you're right back in the same place next season.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know what we need. We need difference makers. I mean, however you want to talk about it. I mean, everybody's got the different, you know, I need a stud, you know, like Bear Bryant, stud. Yeah, you know it when you see it, because everybody else we watch in the playoffs has what we don't have. You know, we get individual moments. You know, we talked about, you know, Judon popped a couple of times, and then McKady popped 6 times, Caden Ellis, but consistently, in concert, you know, to get the quarterback on the ground, we missed a ton of tackles. That's another thing. I hope that you know, Jeff Olbrich brings back some, I don't know, maybe they changed their practice approach. I know by the end of the season, everybody's so banged up, there's no contact, but we've got to do something, because in an NFL where tackling has gotten worse and worse, it's not just us.
It was bad.
We're really bad.
It was. And here's the deal. When you allow a 3-yard gain to turn into an 8 or 9 or 10-yard gain,
yak.
That's a problem.
Yak. Right, whether it's a running back or the receiver.
Yeah,
right.
I'm with you on that. All right, guys, 404-726-0929. We will get back into our conversation as we're asking you. We're just talking here and asking you, what is your frustration level? If, in fact, you have a frustration level with the Falcons, and where is it? Is it 1? Is it 5? Is it 10? And so many of you called in last hour and said, hey, it's a lot higher than you think, and here's why. And I said that. Tell us why. And I love the reasoning. Like Susan, whether you agree with her, Susan's like, here is why I feel this way. And I'm curious, Mike, because we talk about this stuff all the time, and we say, all right, well, everybody feels the way we do. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of you don't feel that way, and we're giving you an opportunity to express that. So we'll get back into that.
Glass half full, glass half empty.
Where are you, by the way, right now?
I mean,
half full, half empty.
Well, real quick, I know we got to get to the
Mike Missouri Bell.
So, got to give a shout out to my chiropractor. Got a good adjustment today. Snap, crackle, pop. Dr. Roddy down in Tyrone.
You are a different dude when you get those adjustments.
When I get, I was just, you know, I was tight, and you know, I'm sitting here like, you know, hunt, sanctuary, like Quasimodo, and then he had a good, okay, got a good adjustment. So I'm feeling loose.
Do they stretch you?
No, there is a machine. Some chiropractors have that where there's like the rack.
So you grow like an inch.
The spinal decompression. Yeah. I did that, yeah.
You look taller, Mike.
You feel like a jellyfish. No, these are my lifts, by the way, from the Good Feet store.
Oh, okay.
Make me look better posture. But no, Dr. Roddy gave me an adjustment today. And while he was talking to me, he goes, by the way, that's funny you and Carl talking about that. He's a bit southern. He goes,
yeah.
You know, your first draft pick you like, you'll be over the moon. So don't give me this negative stuff. Like, what?
So he even said it.
Even my chiropractor called me out that I'm going to be over the – by the time we get to camp in August, he won't even give me that. He's giving me like end of April in the draft. So I'm going to be like, woohoo! I'm back, baby. I'm buying in. All right, Falcons, here we are. Kick me right in the cods. Mike Missouri Bell,
no.
Show me.
No, he
thinks that I will – he says it's nonsense. He's got a kick out of it. But he says, I know you can't help yourself.
Does he – out of curiosity, does he – tell you something or in the middle of the conversation. So, Mike, tell me again.
Well, yeah, when you get your face down, I like the
because my guy does that all the time. Yeah, it gets me caught up in. So, tell me one more time what you did with that car.
That's and like I'm the like, awkward conversation, like, hey, so you think about the Falcons turning cough?
Yes.
Right. Well, that's like when you got, you know, your face down, getting the adjustment, they have a little paper thing they put down to protect. And so your face is on that mat. And he's like, I don't know. Maybe good. Maybe bad. I don't know. You haven't said, why do guys want to confer when you really can't speak
and talk?
You know, hold still. Well, I can't hold still and move my jaw.
You know? But those guys are sneaky that way. All right. I know some of you think that's witchcraft. It's not. It's amazing.
You got to find the right chiropractor. Is that a way of life? College up the road. It's hard. But you find the right guy or girl.
Yeah.
The person that does it right.
I agree.
Giddy up.
I agree. All right, guys. More to get to. We're going to talk to Frank Schwab coming up. Yahoo Sports NFL Insider and also Inside Coverage Podcast. He did a great article on the hires around the NFL. And it's interesting because there's one job left, but how do you rank these guys? Mm-hmm. How do you rank the jobs and the fact that now that they have been taken and everybody just thinks Chicago and Ben Johnson is the best place and that's the best situation? It may not be. Stick around. We'll talk to Frank coming up. Right now, let's get to 4th and 1. So, Mike, I don't know all of the details, but I was just talking with Turtle, our executive producer, about this. And the Baltimore Ravens kicker, okay, Justin Tucker,
right,
has come out and put out a statement. Now, again, we're just going to go through this a little bit as we find out more information. But the gist is that apparently, believe it or not, there are women who have come out and said he was inappropriate, Mike, with them.
Oh, snap.
Well, he was receiving massages.
Wow, this massage thing has become a real growth industry for people that work with NFL players, I suppose.
So he has put out a statement, and I'm going to retweet this in here in a second and put him up. See, Dukes, follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. He says the allegations in the Baltimore Banner, which is where this came out, an article about me, is unequivocally false. Throughout my career as a professional athlete, and he goes on, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs of him basically laying out this stuff didn't happen. Well, we've been here. Because when it happened with Deshaun Watson, if you remember, he did the same thing. And the evidence then came out, and then he started cutting checks. So I don't know, Mike, and we are not going to speculate, but what in the hey is going on if, in fact, this is true? You just saw a guy in the league have to deal with this. And, come on. It just makes me wonder whether or not any of this is true, some of it. But at the end of the day, there are, what, six women? Is that right? Six women now that have come out.
Jeez Louise. Now, again, two things. Is it a copycat off of Deshaun Watson, but six women got their story straight? Or is, you're right, is this a fetish thing that I've missed out on my whole life?
Come on.
No, you and I have talked about it. You know, I've had like two massages in my entire life. One the weekend we got married in Jamaica as part of the VIP. I don't like strangers' hands on me, especially if it's a dude. You know what I mean?
I love massages. I wish I got more of them.
Right.
But I just don't. But to your point, only usually when we're on vacation,
right,
is when I do that.
No, the thing is, and this is where, again, I will tread lightly here for kids in the car. But you know, if it's a masseuse, and she is attractive to you, you got to compartmentalize some of your thought process. In my case, start thinking about who played third base for the Mets in 1975. You know, I mean, or start computing slugging percentage. No, but that's where, okay, that's one thing. But to engage in this on the heels, to your point, of what Deshaun Watson just went through, didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. Unless it was, again, earmuffs to the kids, a form of prostitution, and that they've got a different side of the story. And he thought it was something that it wasn't. I don't know.
This is in, and again, developing story.
Because he's a straight ace. I mean, again, as you like to say, you never know what goes on behind closed doors.
You know.
But he's a dude that well loved in that community. You know, the piece on Real Sports performs opera.
Yeah.
You know, kind of considered like a well-rounded dude, the ultimate teammate, etc.
NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy has come out and says this about the Justin Tucker allegations. We became aware of these allegations from the report. From this story, and we take any allegations in the NFL seriously, and we will look into the matter. All right, so we'll see where it goes. But I'm just saying, like that. Mm. When I talked to Turtle in the break, and I said, "You got to be kidding me," because I just saw the statement from Justin Tucker, and I was like, "This can't be real." Apparently, it is. We'll keep you updated accordingly. Meanwhile, guys, as we talk about what's going on around the NFL as we get ready for the Super Bowl, and again, guys, you've been saying this. We are your home. We've been your home for the NFL all year long, and you're going to get a chance to hear the last game of the season right here. But, Mike, I want
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I want you to hear Bill Belichick, because we spent a lot of time about coaching and talking about coaching, and this gets back to why this player assessment and evaluation process that they're going through right now is so important. Here's Belichick talking about he doesn't care who the coach is. It's still about the player.
Players win games. You can't win games without good players. I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible. You can't win without good players. You know, I found out when I had Taylor and Banks and Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Everson Walls, all those guys at the Giants. And same thing, you know, when we got good at Cleveland and then at New England. I mean, it's, you know, it's Brady, it's McGinnis, it's Vrabel, it's Brewski, it's Corey Dillon, it's Randy Moss, Troy Brown, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Rodney Harrison. Those are the guys that won the games. Man, I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks. That was Vinatieri that made that kick in 4 inches of snow. You got to have good players.
Period. And we've talked about the legendary coaches that have the, you know, the legacy, like Belichick, like Walsh. You know, you had, you know, the elite quarterbacks, and then you, like, you do have to have the QB unless you have that lights out defense. You're
correct.
You're Trent Dilfer.
That's
with
right.
Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and the Ravens, or you're Brad Johnson with
Tampa.
Yeah, with Tampa Bay, and that amazing defense. That, again, Rich McKay, who's does something with the organization, who he built that team, and then John Gruden put him over the top. I mean, you go back, like, the year that he's talking about, that the year that the best chance the Bills had to ever win a Super Bowl was Super Bowl 25 in Tampa in the Sombrero against the, that was the first year the Bills won the Super Bowl. And that's when they were lights out better than the Giants on offense. That was Jeff Hostetler. Sims gets hurt halfway
Hostetler
through the season. Jeff Hostetler wins a Super Bowl, and Otis Anderson was the MVP. Everyone said he really should have gone to Thurman Thomas on the losing effort.
Yeah, yeah, he
but
was great.
But you think about that. That was that lights-out defense that allowed Hostetler to win. I mean, some guys would say, with all due respect to Mark Rippon, not exactly the greatest gunslinger of all time, but that Redskins team was loaded on both sides of the ball,
were.
Of football.
They were. And the reason why we say all that this is, whatever you think about Belichick, he's not lying. What he's telling you is, yeah, I get this moniker of being the greatest coach of all time and modern history and all of this stuff.
Right.
At the end of the day, look at the people that played for him.
Now, it's like Eli, you know, I've kind of morphed this into the old conversation about quarterbacks. You know, some guys still don't respect Eli for the Hall of Fame. That's some of the great defenses. The first part with Michael Strahan,
yeah.
The second part with a different cast of characters. But those were some amazing Giants. The only team that could really punch Tom Brady in the mouth in the big game.
I agree. All right. And what's it mean for us? We don't have enough dudes. That's what we've been saying. We need to upgrade in a variety of areas and get better players.
I mean, who do you think? Like, obviously, A.J. Terrell. We talked about Grady, although I still think Grady's a misfit in this defense. Caden Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can throw at me, do you feel Ebikadie? Ebikadie is
well,
he's trending in the right direction. But we have you and I had a hard time finding more than five. We need like six more pieces and difference makers.
Yes. And ironically, on the offense, it's a completely different story. Bijan, stud. Drake, stud. Right? Lindstrom, pro bowler,
right.
All pro, perennial, every stud. Like, you start looking at this differently with the offense than we do on the defense.
You got a guy in Algier can start for every team in the NFL.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right now, save the ones who already have a Derrick Henry, but you get the idea.
Absolutely. All right, coming up, Frank Schwab's going to join us, guys, Yahoo Sports. We'll talk to him about all the things that are going on around the NFL, including the latest hires. Saints' job is still open. We said Kellen Moore was the last guy to interview for it. We don't know if anybody else is going to, but if Kellen Moore turns that job down, you're going to get past the Super Bowl. They're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball trying to figure out where they want to go. Maybe they have a plan B or C. We will see. But Frank Schwab is going to join us next. Hey, this hour, again, brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we got a lot more to dive into, including some of your phone calls, as we will continue to open up the phone lines and talk to you. Get the pulse of the ATL when it comes to your frustration level.
Where's your head at, man?
And our Falcons, man. It's interesting, though. It really is. And some of you guys are hitting us up on social media as well. So that conversation will continue. Some yeah, man, no man is also on the way. But let's talk to Frank Schwab. Guys, he writes for Yahoo Sports, does a really good job covering the NFL.
Frank, you wrote this piece about the hirings around the league. There is one job open, and I want to start there before we get into your rankings about how you feel about the jobs that were taken and the coaches that were hired. Why do you think nobody has been hired with the Saints? What is the deal there?
I think it's just kind of a dead-end job. The only thing they have to sell, I mean, let's be real.
There's a soundbite.
They're 1 of 32. They're 1 of 32. I mean, the cap situation is beyond awful. The quarterback situation is nothing you're going to sell. They have a lot of aging stars on both sides of the ball. I mean, it's like if they decide to just get out the credit card and do the cap thing again and restructure everybody and push the cap hits down over the road, what's their ceiling? 8-9 wins? Like, it's just – it's the kind of job where you have to know going in that ownership is going to be patient with you. And how could you know that if you're a Kellen Moore or an Anthony Weaver or whoever it's going to be? That team seriously has some, like, 3-14 vibes to it next year if they just decide to clean house and get their cap in order and take the short-term L's for the long-term gain. I wouldn't want that job if I had other options. Now, I get why we saw it happen with Bobby Slowick in Houston, right? He was the hot name 12 months ago. Everybody loved him. He's going to be the next great head coach in the NFL. And then he gets fired a year later. The same thing could happen to Kellen Moore or any assistant. It just happens sometimes. So I don't blame Kellen Moore or anybody else for jumping at that job. Again, it's 1 of 32, and you never know where life is going to take you. But I don't know if that's a situation, if you had other options, that you'd want to be getting involved with.
It just seems like the quarterbacks, if you're going to turn your franchise around, there's just not a great draft for quarterbacks. Now, maybe things will change between the combine. Yeah. Somebody will pop. But I mean, do you feel that Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and then some guy takes – will there be a third quarterback go in the first round?
Probably Milroe, I would assume, from Alabama. I mean, but even him, any of these guys, I hear it all the time that – none of these guys in this draft would go in the top six of last year's draft when Bo Nix was the sixth pick. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean – look, I like Shedeur Sanders. I'm based in Colorado. I've seen a lot of Shedeur Sanders playing football. I think he's pretty good. I think Cam Ward's a good player too, but I don't think these guys are – and nobody's a sure thing, quote-unquote, but these guys seem far from sure things to me. Now, maybe during the process, some teams are going to fall in love with one of these guys, the Titans, Browns, all these teams. But even when you're talking about the Saints – the Saints aren't even in a position to draft those guys. Like, they're not even getting a Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, more likely than not. So then you're down to, okay, we're taking Milroe, let's say. He would have been the ninth quarterback drafted last year's class, and you're going to draft him in the first round of this year's draft and hope he's your franchise guy? Like, it could happen, but it's more of a gamble than I'd like to take with a premium pick like they have.
Frank, everybody is perplexed with what the Cowboys did in hiring Schottenheimer. All right, so there's the Saints, and then the Cowboys did this. I mean, was this the worst hire of the group?
It's the most unimpressive hire of the group because, look, what's the one thing Jerry Jones should be able to do? There's no salary cap for coaches, right? He's the only dude in the world, not just America, the world, who has a franchise that's worth more than $10 billion. And he cheaps out on coaches? I don't get it. I just don't understand it. People were like, yeah, there's no way he's going to get Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has a $10 million buyout. What's $10 million to Jerry Jones to get the right coach? Like, when the Bears throw $13 million at Ben Johnson, Jerry Jones should have been like, what do you want? You want 20? I got it. Here you go. Like, I don't care. I'm 82 years old. What am I saving my money for at this point? I just don't get how that A, he cheaps out on coaches, and B, he seems to have this infatuation with needing somebody familiar with.
Right.
Like the fact that he doesn't really he's never employed Ben Johnson means Ben Johnson's not a good coach, or Aaron Glenn, or whoever. Like, he needed to find somebody he's familiar with, and I don't get that line of thinking. It's a very college way of thinking. Like,
yes.
I'm out here in Colorado, and for years and years before Dion, the whole thing was, oh, we need somebody who's a buff to take that job. Like, why? Your job's not special. Like,
right.
What? You're a college football team. Like, what are you talking about? Just get the best coach. I think Jerry should have just gone to get the best coach. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about where they come from. Who's the best coach? I'm going to hire him, and nobody's going to stop me. But they didn't. They hired their offensive coordinator who wasn't calling plays, for a head coach that they basically didn't try that hard to resign. Right. How's this an upgrade? I don't get it. That's why I'm not even saying Brian Schottenheimer's not going to be a great head coach. Look, he's been around the leagues. I believe 1997 was his first year coaching. He's done this a long time. He's coached on a lot of staffs, under a lot of coaches. He's picked up a lot of stuff. His dad, obviously, grew up with coaching. He could be a heck of a football coach. We don't know. But this was just so underwhelming for what the Cowboys should have been able to do.
No, you got to find somebody to get the most out of Dak when it matters most. I mean, that to me, yeah. And again, why you didn't just fire, you just touched on it. He's too cheap to fire McCarthy after the debacle against Green Bay. So you waste another year, then the injuries
right.
make it
could've
worse.
Could have got Peyton, right?
Right. Could've,
at some point, you could have got Sean Payton if you want. if money was no object, and yeah, it would have cost a couple draft picks, but do you think the Denver Broncos are sad they got Sean Payton now and don't have those draft picks? No, they're like, we got Sean Payton, we're back in the playoffs. Like,
right on.
That should have been, yeah, Jerry should have been way more aggressive with this.
It is a Frank Schwab, and Ben Johnson seemed to be the right pick for all those reasons. Frank Schwab is with us, guys, from Yahoo Sports at Yahoo Schwab. Follow him on social media. Hey, man, here in Atlanta, we really feel good about our offense. We were just talking about it. We got some young studs that are coming together now. And through hook or crook, I still don't understand how we got there, but we got there. We got Penix, so we're set at QB. We'll figure out how we get Cousins off the books. So we're just going to have to eat it on the cap hit. What do you think? Can we fix this defense in this offseason, and what do you think of the Ulbrich hire?
I like it. I think he's a fine defensive coordinator. And at some point, though, you just have to figure out a way to get pass rushers. Like, it just the Penix pick obviously is smart right now, right? And I don't think anybody, for as much grief as they got, I came around on it during the offseason. I was one of these guys ripping that pick the day of, right? Oh,
me
this
too.
Is crazy. Why would you do that? But you come around, you start thinking, well, quarterback's the most important position, and Kirk is kind of an unknown. Maybe you shouldn't give him the money you gave him, but you did. So if you end up at the end of the day with the whole Jordan Love situation redo, then okay, you got Michael Penix, and you're pretty good shape. That's exactly what happened there. But when you draft Michael Penix, you pass on pass rushers. You don't. That's what they've. It seems like when's the last time they've had a really good pass rusher? It has been.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, 6, 7, 8 years, and I'm not saying that like a Miles Garrett or a TJ Watt is easy to find. They're not, but you got to start trying. You got to figure out some way to fix that. It's not trading for Matthew Judon. Like, nothing against Matthew Judon, but you need somebody who can build that defense around. And you know, like Jesse Bates is a heck of a player. AJ Terrell, good player. But you need somebody up front and you can just get after the quarterback. They have not had that in literally 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. That's where it needs to start, and I think that, you know, again, not easy to find these guys in free agency, not easy to find them in the draft, but that has to be the focus. And the offense is going to be fine. The offense could be really good, I think. It's just, can you build something up front where you can have at least a competitive defense? This defense can't be in the average to below average pack anymore. They need to take a step up if they're going to start winning a division and being taken seriously in the NFC.
Frank, do you like the Pete Carroll hire with the Vegas Raiders?
I don't know. I keep going back and forth. And part of me says Pete Carroll's a really, really good football coach. I mean, back to USC. I mean, obviously with Seattle, he's great. He's a culture guy. He's a leader. Everything I'd like. If Pete Carroll's 63 years old, I think this would be a home run hire. But he's not. He's 73. The fit of a Raiders team that's nowhere near being competitive, nowhere near being contender, hiring the oldest coach in NFL history, I don't know. I understand why they did it. Who else are they going to hire, right? Like, how are you going to – everybody thought Tom Brady's a Pied Piper all of a sudden, and every single candidate's going to want to play for the coach of Raiders because Tom Brady's there. Tom Brady's a 5% owner who's never done this before. Like, I get it. He's a respected dude, but come on. It's still being overdone. Like, Tom Brady is not – having every coach drop what they're doing to go join Las Vegas. It's still a bad operation. And so who else were they going to hire who's better than Pete Carroll? But at the same time, I'm like, are you getting more than 2 years out of Pete? I don't know. Like, he's got a lot of energy and all that. But I'm just wishy-washy on it. I think it was fine. I understand it. But at the same time, it's such a short-term thing that I don't know what the end game here is for the Raiders with Pete Carroll.
What did you make of the Jacksonville situation? We got a lot of fun. I mean, it was funny. I mean, I get it. There's never an easy way to divorce, but it seemed like it was just so ugly between the Bucs and what happened with Liam Cohen.
It was very ugly. Now, I do look at it from this aspect. Any of us, or any of us talking, any of you, any people listening, whatever, If somebody came up to you and said, you know, we're going to give you a job that's more prestigious than the one you got now, we're going to give you all the power in that job, and we're going to bump up your pay by three times, every single one of us would have taken it. And every single one of us, if we had to do it on the down low and sneaking around or whatever, okay, whatever we got to do, we got to do. But I think we could all also agree that it was handled very poorly by Liam Cohen. And it's something he's going to have to, I think, overcome. I mean, players, as you guys know, in the locker room, they're smart. These dudes know exactly what's going on. And when he's talking to them about accountability, about, you know, being upfront, being honest, you know, well, you didn't. Why should we? Like, I think it's something he's really going to have to live with for a while. Now, it doesn't matter. If he wins games and our offense is awesome, then everybody forgets all this kind of stuff. I mean, we've seen weird things happen in coaching, you know, it searches before. But I think that it's something, yes, he's going to have to overcome. But I also wonder, look, we're all anointing Liam Cohen as like the next dude. He's had one great season as an offensive coordinator. He's only been an offensive coordinator two seasons in the NFL. One of them was with the Rams, and they finished 32nd in yards gained. Is he Bobby Slowick, who, okay, he had one great year. Can you do it again? I think there's just questions about this hire. I think it was a fine hire. I think he did enough with Tampa Bay to say, okay, he deserves a shot to be a head coach. We'll see what we got. But I don't know that this is some sure thing home run hire for the Jaguars either.
I agree. Too soon. I thought it would be next year, but you don't turn a job down. Great job, Frank. We appreciate you stopping by. Frank Schwab, guys, Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check out his stuff. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man. Coming up, we had a chance to visit with our buddy Hugh Douglas from WIP in Philly about the Eagles as they are headed to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Find out about all the things that are going on behind the scenes and what a difference one guy has made on that team. You'll hear it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas, it is good to hear you, brother. How are you doing, man?
Hey, man. Hey, What's going on?
We're jealous, Hugh. You know the deal. I mean, man, you guys, the team is loaded. You got all the dogs up there. Quarterbacks healthy, playing. Well, look healthy. I mean, all the things are just falling into place. I'll start with Jalen Hurts because we had heard that knee brace thing and all week, and I'm curious how you guys were taking that on. Hugh, he looked healthy to me. It didn't have any issues.
Hey, Carl, and Mike, let me tell you, before the game, I was talking to some some individuals that cover the team that go out on the field, and they're like, oh, Jalen's a little limpy. It don't look good. He got to, like, no, this is what they're telling me, right?
Right.
And so I'm like, damn, we might be in trouble. Man, Jalen took that brace off. I guess he was playing possum. I don't know what it was. I guess he was playing possum. And you're right. He made the plays that he had to make, man. Like, all season long, he's been getting ridiculed about what he hasn't been doing and all this other stuff. But he made the plays he had to make the other day.
It just seems like if you can get that element, that vertical passing game, and I understand, you know, why Kellen Moore said, look, we got Barkley, we're going to use it. But are you going to find that balance against the Chiefs?
You know what? That's a good question. Because I look at these teams, and you look at the way Patrick Mahomes played this year, his numbers don't look great. As a matter of fact, his numbers and Jalen's numbers are pretty similar at this point. But the formula is trying to get Saquon the ball. For whatever reason, this year, teams that have had success are the ones that can run the ball successfully. You know, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles and what they've been able to do with Saquon Barkley. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, Patrick Mahomes' numbers don't look that great. But there are two teams that are here, and I think the key is, you know, the quarterback's going to have to make a play. But if you can establish that running game of the Eagles, I think they can come out on top.
We're talking with Hugh Douglas, guys. He does middays at WIP up in Philly, of course, a part of our radio station for many years, and Atlanta loves him. And we had to get the 411. Man, what's up with this Saquon Barkley, dude? He has completely changed the dynamic in the franchise, hasn't he?
Man, no question about that. Carl, this guy has changed the trajectory of his legacy by playing for the Philadelphia Eagles in one season. People are talking about Hall of Fame, and I'm like, what? Like, they're talking about him, potentially, if he can keep this up, being a Hall of Fame player. That's crazy.
That is. I mean, look, the first play, though, I mean, Hugh, that place went crazy. We're watching, and it's like, are you serious? Because all week long, it was like, contain him.
Right.
And then the first play, he breaks it, and that place had to be rocking.
No, listen, I'm sitting in the booth with Brian Westbrook, and we're watching the game. And he just started talking about, hey, man, that guy's special. And he, you know how we do as old folks. We start talking about, like I was saying, I wish my arms was longer because if it were, I'd probably be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And Brian's talking about he wish he was bigger because if he was, you know, he would be like Saquon and all this other stuff. Yep. So, yeah, hey, man, it was electric because the thing that you fail to realize when you look at him, and B. John Robinson for that matter, these are some big-ass dudes.
Right.
And they can move.
Yeah.
And they can move, you know, and to cut on a dime the way that he did, he cut on a dime and cut it back inside and still had enough speed and acceleration to beat the guys that were going downhill that didn't break a stride. That's crazy.
And the other thing is, Hugh, and you talked about that. I mean, that was the play after Dan Quinn. And Carl and I debated this after the game. I just felt, man, you waste 7 minutes on that drive. You're going to need more than a field goal to beat this team. And I just felt, man, especially after going for it on fourth down and going for it on fourth down, man, you got to go for it and set the tone. I thought the command. Look, the game became a laugher, but I thought that was a big moment that got away from him.
Oh, yeah, no question about it, man, because you talk about you held the ball all that time, and all you got out of that was 3 points. That's crazy. I mean, and then they come right down and score. That was the momentum switcher in the game, in my opinion. The one thing about it, the Eagles never really stopped the momentum of the Commodores, but they kept them out of the end zone. And I think that was key.
Hugh, you played with some great players. Obviously, you mentioned one, you know, guy that you were sitting there watching the game with. But let's talk about this defense, man, because Davis and Carter in the middle. I mean, Nolan Smith off the edge, Josh Sweat. I mean – and again, they are without N'Kobe Dean, who was balling. Tell me about this defense.
Man, listen. Jalen Carter is the star that stirs the drink. Mm. Like, he's the guy. Did you see when he slapped the guard?
Yeah.
He did.
We all saw it.
You know what? That was something you would have did, by the way.
No, listen. He slapped that man like he owed him money, Carl and Mike. He slapped him like he owed him money and set him on his ass. And then you talk about Nolan Smith, man. Coach Hurt, Clint Hurt, I don't know what he's done or what he's instilled in these young guys, but I told somebody the other day, I didn't compare him to Derek Thomas, but I said the way he hit the corner and ran around and chased down Jaden Daniels, that was Derek Thomas-like.
Right.
This guy's coming to his own, man. And do you know he holds the record now for having the most sacks in the postseason as an Eagle right now?
No.
That's your boy, Nolan Smith, right now, Georgia Bulldog. That's what he's doing.
It's a big Hugh Douglas, guys, from our sister station IP in Philly here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hugh, that's the thing. When you went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, it was Ndamukong Suh, it was Fletcher Cox, and those guys were rock stars in their own right. But this is like a better, younger, faster athletic version of that. So that's why a lot of folks feel the Eagles can get it done this time.
Yeah, no question about that. You talk about the fact that they're young, and they have the opportunity and the ability to be together for a long time. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter in his second year. Nolan Smith in his second year. Jordan Davis came and had a big game. N'Kobe Dean, when he gets healthy, he was a big part of that defense, man. Zach Bond, who was a special teams player in New Orleans, going back to New Orleans to play in the Super Bowl. Yeah, that bunch of young guys on this team, man. Bunch of young guys on the defensive side of the ball.
It is Hugh Douglas, guys. As we talk about the Eagles getting ready for the Super Bowl, they're heading down to New Orleans. They'll take on the Chiefs, obviously, and we're talking about all the angles and what's been going on. Hugh, what's up with Nick Sirianni, man? What changed during the season for him?
He went crazy,
yep.
And the team rallied around him.
Mm.
Listen, man, Nick Sirianni, before that game against the Cleveland Browns, he cut all his hair off. And we were sitting at the post game. And I said, Nick then lost his damn mind. And I was thinking about it. No, seriously, Carl, seriously, all jokes aside. And I was like, this could be the turning point of the season. I thought that, and everybody kind of looked at me like I was crazy. I said, man, the one thing that I know for a fact is this team rallies around their coach. And, you know, you talk about the fact that before all of that happened, he got into a tete-a-tete with the fan in the stands, and he had to come back and apologize and everything. And he cut his hair. And then the next week after they beat the Cleveland Browns, he goes out to practice playing Mini-Man by 50 Cent and all this other good stuff. And the team – no, I'm so serious. Like, they were talking about getting Nick Sirianni up out of here.
Wow.
And he just turned the team around and they rallied around him.
But it's just so crazy, you, because we said it last year, you guys, and again, last year's last year, but you're 10-1, you're the number one seed, and the wheels come completely off. Patricia installs a new defense, it gets even worse. You get humiliated in Tampa Bay. As you said, they're ready to run them out. Could there have been a way last year to finesse that situation and still, because you could argue you got enough talent to go to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row.
Yeah, but I think there was a lot, because A.J. Brown alluded to it, and he said something to the effect that there had to be a lot of tough conversations that had to be had and things of that nature. And I said that last year, Mike. I said sometimes you had to have a come to Jesus moment, and I don't think they did that last year. There was a lot of bad blood for whatever reason that nobody discussed. I feel like during that bye week when they had it early in the season, that's exactly what they did. They got everything together, and everybody made a sacrifice to get to this point, and now they're reaping the benefits of that sacrifice.
Before we let you go, Hugh Douglas joining us, WIP in Philly, middays, guys. We love him here in the ATL. Speaking of A.J. Brown, is everything cool? Like, everybody, nobody's mad at him for the whole book thing, right? Nobody?
Yeah, of course they're mad at him for the book thing. Because they didn't understand it. Because nobody understood it. And you know what it was? That's why I said when he came out and said, you know, sometimes you have hard conversations. A.J. Brown reads that book on the sideline to keep from slapping people across the lips, Carl. That's exactly what he did.
Wow.
And if that helps him keep himself centered, then I have no problem with that.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Hey, real quick, because we got a jet. But, Hugh, if you're Spags, and Spags is a hell of a DC, and they got some dudes, how are you stopping the Eagles? What are you doing to stop them?
Oh, I'm run blitzing. You know, that's the defense that we played in when Jim Johnson was the defense coordinator here in Philadelphia. And the one thing that I know about Spags is he's going to have a whole lot of run blitzes, man. He's not going to let Saquon Barkley get downhill if he can help it. So that means he's going to be sending linebackers. He's going to be stunned up front. They're going to try to do everything in their power to make sure that they don't get Saquon Barkley running downhill to get ahead of steam. They're going to try to slow him down in the backfield.
Good point. Hugh Douglas, man, appreciate you, brother. You know we love you.
Love you too, brother. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Orin. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Hugh. We'll talk to you soon, man.
And, Mike, the run blitz thing I think is real. We'll start to get into particulars next week as we start talking about the keys and how to do some of the things that are going to need to be done. Listen, the Chiefs are a juggernaut. I know they haven't looked like it at times this season. But, man, they just know how to win. And if you're not – first of all, if you make mistakes, you're going to lose. Two, you turn it over, you're going to lose. But three, Mike, if they are in position to win, you know, I don't know if there's anybody on the planet right now that said, hey, 3 minutes to play, Eagles up three. And Mahomes has the ball. You're going to doubt against that? I'm not.
Yeah, and the other thing is with the Eagles, we didn't cover the air, but the latest, and they get another week to get their center situation right with Landon Dickerson and all the guys that are banged up. Because remember, they had literally two guys banged up in the game. Didn't matter because they blew doors certainly on the Commanders and ran away in the second half. But, and by the way, numbers hanging at 1.5.
It's crazy.
I just, you know, I don't know. Why is Vegas doing this to us? I would jump on the Eagles. Seems like, you know, that's a good bet on all the things we just talked about with you. Yes, people just feel the secret sauce is Mahomes. You feel about Spags, as you just said, run blitz you just mentioned. But then you just feel they're more athletic. Their defense is better. They got playmakers on both sides. As long as Jalen Hurts don't fumble, and you won that first one.
Well, they can control the clock, too. If they get up in this game, you can hand the ball off to Saquon, Mike, and you can win the time of possession game as well. That's the other side of this that I think now, and it doesn't mean he's going to break in 60-yard plays, but Saquon for three, Saquon for two, Saquon for first down.
Right.
Move the chains, and all of a sudden now, you know, the Eagles, I think last week, went on a couple of long drives, and it was like, whew. They were putting the Commanders in a tough spot.
Do you think this is going to be a dud spud as far as the ratings here in Metro Atlanta for this Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I mean, the NFL just had the greatest championship round as far as the ratings. 57 million for the Chiefs and the Bills. Chris, real quick, you think it's going to be a dud spot here in Atlanta? Think Atlanta folks? That might be a question we'll save for next week, because I'm just curious, what is there a bit of Chiefs fatigue? Are you just like, meh? You know, because a lot of folks were just like, I'm just not feeling any either one of these teams either way.
I think people love to see the victor fall.
Yeah.
So I think people are going to be hate watching to see if the Chiefs lose.
Yeah. Right. I said it. It's either you're for Mahomes or you're not. That's what this is.
I mean, we might not have tuned in for Ohio State and Notre Dame, but I think we're going to tune in for the friggin' Super Bowl for crying out loud.
I do too, Mike. And the other part of this too is you don't want to be the guy the next day or that week that missed out on the three-peat and how it happened. Right. And if it was dramatic – Right. If it went to overtime, because, well, I'm not going to watch that because I'm sick of it. You're not going to be that guy. And all on top of that, we all watch this game for various reasons. Most watch for the commercials. Some are you going to watch for the halftime show. Mm-hmm. Some are you just going to watch because you're hardcore football fans. And then there's the fringe folks, Mike, who are at a party and go, well, I'm not a real hardcore fan, but it's on and I'm going to watch. So we know, right. I think the numbers will be good.
Yeah. We're talking about Kendrick Lamar at halftime, which certainly plays to, you know, again, the wide range of demographics we spoke about earlier in the week. About $8 million and up for a Super Bowl ad this year.
That's, yeah. Hey, man, come hang out with 92.9 The Game, Andy Bunker, and Michelob Ultra for an Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Indiana Pacers Sunday, February 1st at 4:30 at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. Hang out with the Hawks dancers and flight crew. Enter to win a gift card to the Hawks shop and other prizes. And the first 100 fans will get a free Michelob Ultra. That's Saturday. I said Sunday. February 1st, 4:30 at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. It's sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Must be 21 years or older. And please drink responsibly. For more info, visit Hawks.com/bar network. We're coming back. We got a lot to get to. Yeah, they're down there looking at all these players. Jackson Dart. All these quarterbacks, and we don't need that. We need some big boys.
Yes.
We're going to talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.